Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, we're going to jump straight on in. Now, I'm sure you can relate when I say, do you sometimes feel like life is a bit non-stop? Like it is go, go, go. Like all the dads out there, connect with me for a second here. Like the countless kind of plates we feel like we got to keep spinning. You know, at work, it's like there's one deadline or project to another. There's we got to keep the family happy. We got to keep the yard looking nice. You know, we got to keep the family happy, as I said again. You know, we got to get the family to church, not to mention like serving somewhere. We got to maintain our own personal time with Jesus, and we got to sort out that argument we had with our partner on the way to church. It's always on the way to church, isn't it? We got to help our kids grow in their relationship with Jesus, or at least just not kill their brother or sister. You know, we want them to do their homework, put away their dirty clothes, right? Plus, We got to be a light to our neighbors, to our colleagues at work, share the gospel when we can. And they say it's important to have some downtime. That's meant to be important. We're meant to have friends, so we've got to catch up with our mates. I'm meant to have a hobby, so a hobby's on there. We've got to stay up to date with what's going on in the world. We've got to stay in shape. That one's dropped to the bottom of the list for me. We've got to maintain, or we just give up, some sense of style. For some of you, you got to keep the beard well groomed. For some of you, you're just trying to grow a beard. I'm not pointing to any specific ethnicity here. For others of us, we got to keep up with the Netflix series our wife wants to watch. You know, like, geez, all these things, I feel exhausted just listing off all these things. Anybody with me? You know, this busyness of life and trying to be a fruitful follower of Jesus can sometimes just feel nonstop. And it can be exhausting, it can be stressful, it can be draining. Yeah. And that's not just for the dads, but I'm sure we can all relate. Amen? You know, maybe not all of you can relate to the beard grooming part. That's okay. But today, I feel the Lord wants to lead us to a place where we are always resting. We're always at peace. How does that sound? Well, if that's you, you get yourself 10 friends and some small fee, startup fee of $500 each, and you'll be well on your way to being filled with rest. No, I'm just kidding. My title today is Non-Stop Rest. Non-Stop Rest. So we're going to talk about rest, and we got to understand rest is not sleeping, right? Because when you can feel empty or drained or stressed, and you can sleep and wake up and still feel the same. Right, you can feel no better about it. Or actually, it's just too hard to sleep. And so what I'm talking about is the rest that we need for our souls. Amen? And so let me just set the scene a little more here. You see, God is good and He is kind. Amen, right? And His greatest desire is to fill our lives and to place us in great purpose. Amen? And I know that what He calls you to, He graces and anoints you for. Amen? You know, like, you are graced. Jeremy, you are graced and anointed to be the father of your boys and to lead them to be lovers of Jesus. You know, like, you're graced to, John, to lead your connect group and disciple families and see them be transformed whilst working a full-time job. You know, you're a university student. You're graced to see your university peers come to know Jesus whilst you're getting equipped for your future mission field, right? Like, you're graced to make an impact in your neighborhood, to be a man or woman of prayer, right? You're graced to manage a home and three children and minister to other parents doing it tough. You know, you're graced to work a big job that brings in finance into the kingdom and still be an active member in God's bride, the church. You see, if we're doing everything we're graced for, then should it wear us out? You know, this word grace in the Bible is that charisma. It's where charisma comes from. But it's actually, the meaning is this divine enabling or empowering from God. That means there's a divine power, ability, and capacity available to us to do His will. Now, His enabling wouldn't be very divine if it can't sustain us and carry you through. Am I right? You know, even just personally, people often ask Tam and I, you know, how do you do it? You know, how do you carry this big role in church and your kids do all three services and you know, it's weighty. You guys are weighty. Leading this thing, you're weighty, all right? In a really good way, right? And it's a lot. And I'm like, not trying to toot my own horn at all. And all I can simply say is because we're graced for it. Like, we're graced to do this. You're graced to do what God has called you to do. And And I can see it in my life, like the way God opens doors, you know, the way that he puts our kids on people's hearts so they want to help take care of them. Maybe it's just pity. They're like, oh gosh, these guys need help. I don't know. Like the way that he downloads revelation to me for exactly when I need it, you know, like it's not us at all. It's the grace. It's the divine enabling that makes it possible. So that does that mean I'm just kind of cruising through and, you know, life's just, it's a breeze. I don't ever feel worn out. No, not exactly. But that's where we're going to unpack a truth today that's going to bless us big time in living full lives that bring glory to God. And so when I think about us being worn out and stressed and exhausted, well, if we're doing what our Heavenly Father has called us to, what kind of a father would call you to something that would crush you? Right, that would wear you out, that would cause you to feel exhausted or make you want to pull back from following him, or I didn't even take a break for a moment, like just so I can get, you know, like how does that bring him glory? How does that testify of how good he is? It doesn't, right? And meanwhile, you know, when we're in that space of nah, I'm out or I'm done, or the very people that the Lord has called you to minister to, be it your kids, your family, your community, your connect group, well, they miss out on what the Lord has for them, what he wants to bring to them through you. Or they look at you, they look at your life, the way you live, and think, man, I don't want what he's having. Like, if that's what following Jesus is like, I don't want that. Or if that's what it means to serve God or do kingdom work, I'm not interested in the life that they have. That looks terrible. That looks exhausting. And we actually turn people away from following Jesus or from stepping into a greater kingdom work. Now, hear me out. I'm all for you needing to take a break if you've worn yourself out. Like you need to make changes and get yourself right. Hear me out. But I know the Lord wants to teach us and lead us to live in such a way that this doesn't keep happening to us, or we stop living on this ongoing space of stress all the time until we eventually quit. Because quitting is not God's plan for us. Bailing on serving Jesus, on continuing to put in work to help your kids know Jesus, leading people into worship, whatever it is that you're graceful, you're called to, we should only ever stop doing something that God has called us to do if he says we're done and wants to move us on to something else. If he closes that door and says, okay, now this is what I have for you. If we're stopping for any other reason, we're now doing our own thing and not the Lord's will. Sorry, I'm not making you friends here today, but someone's got to say it. Okay, so what's the answer? It's in the Bible, as always. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We love that first verse, 28. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. You know, we also love the beginning of Psalm 23. You probably know it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Man, rest for our souls is his promise for us. He wants to give us rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wants to give us rest for our souls. And I'm going to give an opportunity for the Lord to really minister to you his divine rest at the end of this message. And I'd love to lay hands on you and just see him pour out that restoration of your souls if you need that today. But it's important to understand that when we read this passage of scripture, there's more to it. You see it like this. Like, imagine if you can't swim and you just decide you're going to just jump in the water. Like, you're going to start going, and then, you know, Jesus is going to throw you a life ring and he's going to pull you out, right? Like, whew, whew. And then you just decide you're going to jump right back in. Woo! You start drowning again. He's going to pull you out. How'd the cameras go there? Stay with me. Uh-oh. I just popped a button off my pants. Jeepers. Let's see how this goes the rest of all three sermons. All right. What was I saying? All right. Just someone start waving if things... No. The analogy, right? Wouldn't it be better if you just learned how to swim? And you know, in Jesus' kindness and his grace and mercy, he will keep rescuing us. That's who he is. But the point is, he's actually wanting us to learn. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? So he's saying, I will give you rest, but I want you to learn from me how to live. So you don't have to, I don't have to keep saving you from being weighed down by stress and exhaustion and burnout. Because drowning is not fun, amen? wrecked my pants. Is there any tailors here? Can you catch me after the service? Let's fix this thing up. But how amazing does that sound, right? Where he's like, I'll give you rest this time, but if you learn from me, you'll live in such a way that the weight of your life is easy and not burdensome. I would like that. I want to live in that space, right? Now, Jesus is not promising a life without challenges, right? But if you're doing it his way, in his rhythm of grace, you can actually take it all in your stride. You can make a kingdom impact and not be overwhelmed, worn out, or even stressed. Amen? Who wants that? Yeah. So let's talk about this yoke that Jesus is referring to. Pastor Matt, why don't you come? Pastor Faith, why don't you come? I'm going to get me a yoke. Here we go. Here's one I prepared earlier. If you're an actual farmer, I'm sorry, this doesn't look quite how it's meant to be. But come on up. Man, look at those pants. We should swap pants. If this was an Easter message, it'd be perfect, because you know how Jesus gets his clothes ripped off? Sorry. All right. Here we go. All right, you put this on. There you go. Pastor Faith, you come and yoke over here. Yeah, pop it in. That's it. There's a little... All right. I thought you guys were similar in time. Okay, Pastor Matt is Jesus. Don't make it mean something, all right? It's an illustration, okay? And Pastor Faith is you and I, all right? Now, I'm going to just... Hang on, grab that one. All right, I'm going to be kind of the load of life, the things that God has called us to. All right, and what I want you guys just to do is walk. So, Pastor Faith, you just walk with Jesus, okay? Go ahead. All right, put a little bit of strain on that. You can go a bit faster, Jesus. All right, okay, hold it there. Pastor Faith, that looked pretty easy, hey? You're doing okay? All right, back it up a bit, back it up. Just don't try and get out of the yoke. All right, now this time we're going to go again. You pull it along, Jesus, and Pastor Faith, you're going to try and go that way. All right, let's go. Kick. All right, cool. All right, come back up, come back. All right, how are we doing? We're okay? All right, this time you just go as fast as you can. All right, go. Go, Pastor Faith, go. Okay, all right, hold it up. Come back. All right, one more. This time we're going to go, but you just decide you want to stop. All right, let's go. Pastor Faith, stop. Yeah. Things are... All right, okay. Nobody's choking, we're all okay. This is really good in theory, you know? Okay, now, we can see when she just walks with Jesus, it's easy. It's light, right? Because he's carrying it all. He's doing all the work, right? When did it become hard? When she tried to go her own way. When she tried to go faster. When she tried to stop, yeah? Right? That's the thing. You see, Jesus is saying, hey, be yoked to me and I'll carry this. It's easy and it's light. You get to just come along for the ride. Amen? Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's take this off before it gets any more ridiculous. Thank you, guys. You see, living in a place of rest is about learning to walk with him, right? To how to go his way. And then it is easy and light, right? And you look back and you see, wow, we've come so far. We've done some good work for the kingdom, right? My kids are loving Jesus. I'm not a bitter and worn out sourpuss, you know? Like there's this call to walk with him, to be yoked to him, not trying to go our own way or do our own thing. Because we're yoked to him for a kingdom purpose, to represent Christ in our everyday worlds. It's for productivity and impact, right? So it's about working with him. You see, rest is not about stopping, it's about remaining. Right? It's about depending on him in every moment of our day. It's about committing every challenge to him and trusting him. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, but whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me and not without results. So he's saying, hey, we've kicked some goals here. We've achieved some things. Then he says, for I've worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. You see, we're called to put in work, right? But to do it with him and to allow his grace to work through us, to allow him to carry it so it's easy and light. There is grace to get work done for Jesus. John 15 verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in him, you will bear much fruit. Have you ever seen a tree produce fruit, right? Like an apple tree, for example. Does it kind of get itself ready and just go, there's an apple. All right, let's go another one. Right, like, no, right? It just remains planted. It's healthy and fruit is the result. Amen? You hear, can you see the connection here? Can you see what I'm saying? The Lord is calling us to stop striving and start remaining. To stop figuring it out ourselves or on His behalf and start depending on the Lord of the entire universe, the source of all wisdom, amen? The one who has a divine grace and capacity for you and I, and He wants us to walk in this nonstop rest. So why don't we do this? Our issue is independence. You see, when I try to go my way, when I try to speed up God's way, when I think I know better, when I don't stand on His promises, I push against the easy yoke and the light burden, right? I'm trying to go my way here. I'm going to make this happen for you, Jesus, right? And I make things hard. I make things hard. I bring on the stress, the worry, the sleepless nights, right? I bring the frustration about the kids, the feeling overwhelmed about everything I need to sort out in the ministry, like, all the while, Jesus is like, I'm here. Yoke yourself to me. Let me show you what to do. I'll lead you into nonstop rest. So why do we do it? Why do we try to do it our own strength or do it without God? Why do we choose this independence? Maybe is it because we don't believe God completely accepts us just as we are. And so if we can do something, if we can achieve something for God, He'll value us more. Is it because we actually deep down don't trust God to take care of us, to make a way, to lead us into freedom, so we're trying to do it ourselves? Is it because maybe your parents didn't look after you well, and so you had to do things yourself, you had to protect your heart, and now you treat God the same way? Could it be that our independence comes from us having an orphan spirit, not really understanding that He is our good Father, that He's completely for us, that He wants to grace us and give us rest? We're going to go deeper today. We're going to let the Holy Spirit peel back what's really going on in our hearts so God can heal us and make us free. Amen. I don't want to be stressed and exhausted, right? So turn to the person next to you and say, you must be yoking. You must be yoking. It's not you must be yoked, because it's not a once-off. It's ongoing. It's continuous, it's every day, and it's in every situation, it's in every relationship, right? You must be yoking. We got to die to our independence, right? We need to put it on this altar and kill it for the Lord. It sounds drastic, but it's the reason we're wearing ourselves out. It's what makes following Jesus unlike any other religion, right? To say, I cannot make myself holy. I can't make my way to God. I need Him, and I want to rely on Him for every part of my life, every single day. And it goes against our fleshly nature. Can I take this a bit deeper with you? Independence, it's like saying, I'll fix it. I'll figure this out. It's up to me to sort it. I need to be strong. I got myself into this, so I'll get myself out of it. What is pride? Pride says, I'll do it my way. I know better. I've got this. I'm the answer. I'm right. I'm capable. See, the root of independence is pride. Yikes. The Bible says in James chapter 4 that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace and pride are eternal enemies. Our pride blocks out the grace. Right? The divine enabling that's available to us to complete His will. So He cannot empower us. He cannot bring that dose of patience when we need it. He can't bring that solution for that thing, that where we're stuck if we're in a posture of pride. You see, pride is sneaky. Sometimes we see there's this big, dirty Christian word, but it's sneaky. It can creep into our lives so easily. You know, sometimes having experience builds pride in us. I know the first time I preached, I was like, oh, Jesus, you better help me. You better do something. I got nothing to bring here. I don't know what I'm doing. But now I've got some experience with it. I can easily start to take the reins back and say, okay, I know how to do this now. And that right there is pride. However, we find ourselves in an attitude of pride, The result is we start tapping into our own strength, our own wisdom, our own capacity, all of which are limited resources, right? It's a limited resource in us, right? And then we wonder why we're struggling, why we're getting snappy at people, why we're feeling stressed, overwhelmed. We start to get sick, you know, and the joy of the Lord is just leaking out of us, not in a good way, right? When the Lord is saying, hey, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. I've got an abounding grace for you who will depend on me. I've got nonstop rest for you. Would you step in? You see, if we recognize our need for him every day in every part of our lives and we genuinely humble ourselves, we'll live in this nonstop rest. We will not burn out. We will not be overwhelmed. But we'll learn from him. We'll shine Jesus. And people will say, wow, that's a beautiful thing. I want to be a part of that. I want what he's having. I want what she's having. But will we learn from him? Will we learn his way? Will we yoke ourselves to him? So practically, how do we stay in this place? Just some really simple, straightforward keys. Turn to his word every day. Turn to the word of God, right? Remaining looks like turning to his word every day. Jesus' teachings are all in here. The Bible says he's the word made flesh, so they're interchangeable, right? And you can see when you read the Bible how Jesus lived, right? Every day he retreats to the quiet place with the Father. If the Savior of the world needed to do that, how much more so do we, right? And we don't because we think, I've got this covered. I've done this before. Gah, that's my pride, right? I got to put it at his feet again and yoke myself to him again. Worship team, you come join me. Second one, some of us are really good at having a Bible devotional life. But the other thing we need to do is bring everything to God in prayer. So it actually looks like committing the things that are going on in your world to him in prayer. God, I need you to lead me as the head of my home today. You know, I want your grace over my work today, right? God, what's the strategy for this project? God, what matters to you right now? What do you want me to do as a parent today? You know, how can I represent you when I'm at school today? Am I looking at this person through your eyes right now? We need to have yielded prayer conversations with God, right? Where we humble ourselves and we bring him in and say, I'm yoking myself to you in what's going on in my family, in what's going on in my work, in the opportunities that you have for me today. Then we have to check ourselves. Turn to someone and say, check yourself. We need to start being aware of when we begin to feel stressed or exhausted and recognize, oh, I've come out of that rhythm of grace of walking alongside him in the yoke and I need to come back under. I need to humble myself again. God, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm trying to deal with this person or this problem. Normally the person is the problem. Am I right? Am I right? And I'm doing it my way and in my strength. So Lord, you know best. Teach me to love. Teach me to forgive. Right? I choose to humble myself before you right now. You have graced me for this. So I lean into you. I lean into that grace. And the last is actually a commitment to the wholeness journey. You got to commit to the wholeness journey. Because if you're not trusting him, I touched on a few reasons. If you're not trusting him, if you're doing it by yourself because you had to when you were young, or maybe it's because you don't really believe that God accepts and loves you just as you are and he wants to take care of you. These are all an invitation to go deeper with the Lord and to allow his love, his truth, his presence to transform you and to break that orphan spirit. Imagine if we all applied this truth today and day in, day out. Fathers, men of the house, man, think about the greater kingdom impact that we'd have in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, right? If we daily laid down our independence and our pride and we were just models of what it means to be yoked to Jesus and to walk in humility, what an example we'd be to our kids, right? We'd lead our families with grace and with God's heart, right? And then the overflow of that into our spaces of influence would just be a beautiful thing to behold. This is not just for the fathers or the men of the house, but it's for all of us. That as we yoke ourselves to him, we can walk in a non-stop rest and do kingdom work.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.